Big D Entertainment presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions. He's a variety entertainer, a former broadcaster and columnist, a true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Happy weekend, Eve, everyone. Great to have you listening once again. Or if you happen to be a first-time listener, welcome. I'm Dave Holly, and I like to talk about Sioux Empire arts and entertainment. Thankfully, with this being a podcast, instead of like regular radio, occasionally, when recording some of our conversations outside this studio, my guests and I can enjoy a beer at such great places as Wood Grain Brewery in downtown Sioux Falls, where we just so happen to record this week's guests. But when I'm doing the production part of the show, like now here in the Dipsy Doodle Production Studio, then I get to enjoy a cocktail. Regular listeners know that's a Jack Daniel's Diet Coke with the lime. And many of you also know I tend to throw out a bit of trivia and remind you that Jack Daniels' full legal name was Jasper Newton Daniel. I actually used Jasper Newton last week while putting my name in for a table.
Reservations for Mr. Jasper Newton.
Speaking of a bit of trivia, the Dave Holly Hour presents Sky Lounge Trivia this Friday night starting at 7. General knowledge this time around and your chance to win some great prizes. Something we do each week here at the Dave Holly Hour is pass along an honorable mention for something the past week that tickled my funny bone or maybe made me smile. This week's honorable mention goes to a wonderful young man, and I do mean young. Jack Finley Pearson celebrated his first birthday yesterday. He's our grandson, and he makes us smile every time we see him, whether in person or on video. Now, this kid, he's a man for the H's. He loves his big sister Harper. He's hungry, handsome, happy, and can rock a hat like nobody else. Jack, Grammy, and I love you. And you are the, along with your big sister Harper, the apples of our eyes. By the way, this is episode 18, which means the show can legally vote. Who are you voting for? For the Oscars, that is. Our conversation with Augustana University's Jeffrey Miller is next.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but all caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
Welcome back. Once again, here's Dave Holly.
Welcome back. We are going to get right into a big conversation because it's a big weekend. We just finished up Super Bowl, but coming up Sunday, the Oscars. Already have the Oscar party plans in place. Now, just got to wait to see who the big winners are going to be, but maybe we'll get an idea as to who they could be. With a former Augustana University Jeffrey Miller, that when former radio guy Dave Holly had a show, you would be on annually. Mm-hmm. Every year, we would talk about what was coming up on the Oscars. Always so much fun. I've missed it.
Yeah, I think the last time we did this, we both picked Gone with the Wind, and we were good.
It was a great year. Not bad on that, huh? That's a great line. I'll have to remember that somewhere else, too. But a lot of great stuff that's come out in the past year. And of course, the other thing is, there are so many movies that are streamed now that are getting recognition. Mm-hmm. And we have that case again, especially with The Irishman and Two Popes. So some great things to take a look at today. But first of all, before we get into going down the road of, you know, who's going to win or who might not. But what got you so interested in film?
Ooh, I think just growing up when I did, where I did, and having the TV available and having two neighborhood film theaters in the city where I grew up, it just sort of seemed like a natural thing to fall into.
And I'm guessing since we both picked Gone with the Wind, that the price of admission and popcorn was a lot less then, wasn't
it?
No doubt about
Finer
that.
Fire quality, too.
I'm gonna stay away from a lot of comments about modern film in terms of the pop culture part of it. But so let's take a look then. We'll go to the big one off the bat for the best film of the year, the best picture. We have Ford versus Ferrari. We have The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Parasite. Who are you going with?
I'm not sure. It's easier to play elimination with this. So I don't think Ford versus Ferrari is going to win. I don't think Jojo Rabbit's going to win. I don't think Marriage Story is going to win. So I'll rule those out. And they're all fine. I mean, there's nothing... I think with Marriage Story... as well as with The Irishman, you're running into the streaming issue.
Right.
The Netflix issue. And I still think that the powers that be in the Academy are not going to go that way yet for Best Picture. Even though the ones I've seen, I would say The Irishman is the best. So I was... overwhelmingly impressed with it.
The Golden Globes, People's Choice Awards, things like that don't seem to have any problem with it, but,
but we're
talking about the Golden Statue right now.
The Academy will have a problem with it. So, Little Women I loved, but I just think it's going to come up short everywhere this year, which is really a shame.
You think that's because it's been remade so often?
Well, I do. I think it comes down to that. This is a really, really strong adaptation, great ensemble work, beautifully filmed. And you'd think with a woman director in the current climate that it would be helped, but I don't think the current climate is enough, and I just don't think as something that is old in terms of its source material, it's got what the Academy is going to be looking for. So... that leaves us with Joker. That leaves us with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That leaves us with Parasite, 1917. The Irishman, again, I think, probably is not in that final four because of the Netflix thing. So I've seen pretty much all of those. I have not seen Joker. I'll take that back. And I think there's enough resistance to that from some people that it won't win. We'll get to that maybe a little bit later on. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is a Hollywood movie about Hollywood that's fun, it's exciting, it's got an iconic performance. It's not Tarantino's best, but it's certainly better than the last two or three he's had out. So I think that's got a remote chance, but I really think it's going to come down to 1917 and the real wild card here, which is Parasite. And Parasite has... Roma last year was the best film, period. I mean, it was just the best. But it didn't win Best Picture because, A, it was foreign language, and, B, it was Netflix. Parasite does not have the Netflix albatross to carry it this year, and it's an audience pleaser. And did you see it when it was...
I did not get a chance,
oh,
no.
Oh, gosh. You should have... When Cinema Falls brought it to the Orpheum, I have never seen the Orpheum that crowded. Never.
Really?
Yeah, it was packed. And the audience response was tremendous, and rightfully so. It's a real... It's got every genre you can imagine tied up in it. Beautifully done. May win for production design because the set, the house itself, you'd think was something designed by an architect in South. No, they built it. I mean, it's beautifully done. So I think that's got a real shot. I just saw 1917 yesterday, and I've got to say I was really impressed. So, and I think it's It's British, which the Academy loves. It's a war story. It's two guys. It's got, you know, it's almost a way to make up for not giving Saving Private Ryan the Oscar in 98. I will still pick that, but I would not be surprised if Parasite won.
Okay. Well, and I was looking at it from a difference of, you know, timing of releases when it came to 1917 versus Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Right, right. I think that does play a part.
Because I think, you know, you've got the 1917 out now, and so it's on people's minds, top of mind awareness, whereas Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you know, we're back half a year at least.
Right, right. Yeah. It's a summer release.
Yeah, and the other thing is with that, I have found from talking to people, that was a love-hate movie.
Yeah.
Either people just said, that's the greatest film I've ever seen, or don't spend your money on it.
I'm neither. I'm more toward the love end, but it's not its best film. There are times in it where it's like, you could cut 5 minutes out of this and nothing's going to be lost. I mean, I really liked it, but on the 5-star scale, it was a 4-star, not a 5-star. And 1917 and Parasite and The Irishman are both all close to 5-star.
So that's the Jeffrey Miller method there. You got to have a standard, right?
So what did you see and what did you like?
I actually have seen quite a bit of the Irishman and Jojo Rabbit. I just saw some stuff on the other day.
Okay.
And then Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, like I said, I was one of the Lovitz.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was big for me. Looking forward to 1917, though. I think that looks spectacular. So
I wanted to see it before we got here today.
Yeah. I'm glad you did, because you are the expert on this, not moi. I'm just a fan.
I deliberately waited until Super Bowl Sunday because I figured I'd get in.
Theater would be a little less crowded, right?
Gosh, it was quite uncrowded.
Lead actor. We have Antonio Banderas for Pain and Glory, Leonardo DiCaprio for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. We have Adam Driver for Marriage Story, Joaquin Phoenix, Joker, and Jonathan Pryce from The Two Popes. I just watched that one the other night.
What do you think?
I thought it was great.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
From a lot of different perspectives, being a non-Catholic, taking a look at it from that regard, taking a look at it from, you know, election process and, you know, like a separate type government. But also, you know, you got two heavyweights duking it out in the acting of that.
Yeah.
And I loved it for that because they're both so naturally talented.
Right.
You know, it's not that, oh, I'm going to play a Pope now. you watch them and they are the Pope.
Okay.
Both of them. And so that was extremely good in my book.
Great. I think all of the actors' acting roles this year are locked in. I don't see any change. I think Joaquin Phoenix is going to win this. He's won every single thing up to this time for Best Actor, and I don't see that changing here. So, and I think that is the regard that the Joker will get, and probably rightfully so. In another year, I would love to see Antonio Banderas, and we'll get to foreign film or foreign language film at some point here. But I think that he would deserve a strong look, as would Jonathan Pryce. But I just think it's Joaquin Phoenix's.
It's his year
to be. You know, I can't imagine that he won't get it.
So you feel the same way with lead actress then?
Yeah, Renee Zellweger is going to get that.
Yeah. Well, and if she doesn't, then makeup and hair, whoever did that certainly should.
Good Lord, yes. Good Lord.
Yeah,
she's unrecognizable.
Yeah. I was watching
unrecognizable.
CBS's Sunday Morning, and they were doing some Oscar preview and so forth. And I had been drinking a cup of coffee and look up, and it's black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, oh. They're featuring Judy Garland. Must be kind of a retrospect. And then all of a sudden, here's Renee Zellweger picking up another trophy. And it's like, no, that's Renee Zellweger as Judy Garland.
Yeah, yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, unbelievable. So, but yeah, it's Judy Garland. It's Hollywood icon.
Yeah.
The Oscars. And it's that's mailed in.
All righty. Well, because otherwise, you know, you've got... Cynthia Erivo for Harriet. We've got Marriage Story's Scarlett Johansson, who has a chance for a couple of different Oscars on the same night. And then there's that gal that I can't pronounce, nor can Mr. Travolta.
Saoirse, rhymes with
Saoirse. Thank you. From
She's
Little Women.
She's great.
Yeah.
She was great.
And then, of course, there's always a good chance that Charlize Theron has, you know, at least the eye of people.
Yeah, she does have the eye of people, but Bombshell did not do that well critically. So
maybe appropriately named?
Not, it didn't do that badly, but it's
there. But also, it's pretty tough for her not to play a bombshell, isn't it?
Right. And, and it's Judy Garland. I mean,
true.
You can't. You're not
I'm definitely with you on that one with Renee Zellweger, supporting actor. Then,
okay, just stop.
Yeah.
Just the names here, and this is a Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
It's a Hall of Fame. I mean, as
supporting actor, not lead.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, you just look at this and it's like, what world are we living in?
Did somebody do something to turn back a clock?
Yeah.
So for those that haven't been paying attention to what's coming up, you know, because they're usually worried about, oh, who's the best actor, best actress, and so forth. And then they kind of go, oh, supporting? Really? Supporting actor. Tom Hanks, Anthony Hopkins, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci, and Brad Pitt.
It's going to be Brad Pitt, and I have no problem with that. None whatsoever. He's not won, and he makes that movie. I mean, as good as DiCaprio is, without Brad Pitt, DiCaprio is nothing. Brad Pitt is the soul of that movie, which is honestly, in a sense, too bad, because Al Pacino has not been this good since Godfather 2.
Mm. I have only seen outtakes. I haven't seen anything yet.
He is, I mean, Scorsese directs him so that he's able to do the Al Pacino over-the-top stuff as Jimmy Hoffa, because Jimmy Hoffa was Al Pacino over-the-top in real life. But in the quiet moments, it's like, this is Michael Corleone being in the office with the guys, just being threatening but quiet, and friendly but threatening but quiet. And it's and Pesci, same way.
Yeah.
Pesci's, I mean, Scorsese directs them down. I mean, they're older. They don't have quite the energy they did back then. And they're beautiful performances. Tom Hanks, no one really understands why that's supporting, although the story was more about the writer than it was about him. And you know, even from last year when they didn't nominate the documentary about Mr. Rogers, it's clear that the Academy, for whatever reason, has no love for Mr. Rogers. But, you know, and I have not seen the Two Popes, but you have, and Hopkins, I'm sure, is Anthony Hopkins.
Exactly.
But it's just unbelievable. But Brad Pitt's the one who hasn't won. Brad Pitt defines the movie in a way that the other ones don't, I think. So I would give it to him.
Then supporting actress, we have Kathy Bates for Richard Jewell. Then there's Laura Dern, Marriage Story. Is that going to fall into your Netflix situation there?
We'll talk.
Okay. That's why you're here. Scarlett Johansson for Jojo Rabbit.
Right.
Very interesting woman. Mm-hmm. Florence Pugh for Little Women and Margot Robbie for Bombshell.
Laura Dern's won everything, and Laura Dern, despite the Netflix thing, Laura Dern is also Marmee in Little Women, so she'll win for both. She's got two really strong supporting roles this year, and she's, as I say, won every award imaginable to this point for a supporting actress. So, and you know, she's Hollywood bred. Bruce Dern, she's got the roots. I don't think she's won before, so it makes perfect sense for her to get it this time.
So the director, big films out there: The Irishman, Martin Scorsese, Joker, Todd Phillips, 1917, Sam Mendes, Quentin Tarantino, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. You've already kind of said that that's not necessarily his best work. Mm-hmm. But then Bong Joon-ho for Parasite, which you liked.
Yeah. Well, okay, I'll go by elimination here as well.
Okay.
Todd Phillips will not win because his film is an homage to Martin Scorsese, so why would you pick him over Martin Scorsese?
Okay.
You're the Martin, you know, this year. Scorsese, I think, bears not just the Netflix problem, but the Disney problem. I mean, I think Disney will...
Over two on that card, huh?
Will tell their people, no, you don't mess with the Marvel Universe. And so I don't think he'll get it, even though I think this is a far, far better movie than the one he won for. Tarantino is a real possibility. I don't... And he's not won before for directing. He's won for writing, but not for directing. I think, again, it's going to come down to the two I was going back and forth for Best Picture. And I think, honestly, I think we're going to see something like last year when Alfonso Cuarón won Best Director for Roma. I think Bong Joon-ho may win Best Director this year for Parasite over Sam Mendes, because the it's what makes that film so great. I mean, it's really well done, but what makes it so great is the cinematography. If Roger Deakins doesn't win for cinematography, there is no God in heaven. That it is, you just sit there and it's not showy cinematography. I'm getting off topic here. I know it's not showy cinematography, but you just sit there and go, how did he do this? How does he get these angles, and how does he get this motion? So I think really the success of that movie is more on Deakins' shoulders than it is on Sam Mendes' shoulders. And I will never forgive Sam Mendes for American Beauty. So as good as this and as good as Skyfall was, I can't in my heart go with him. So I think Bong Joon-ho may well do what Alfonso Cuarón did last year and win the Best Director.
Before we go on to the next category I want to choose, I want to lead into it with, what do you feel makes a great Oscar movie over just popularity?
A lot of things. Writing, for one. Cinematography, for one. Music, for one. All of those.
Okay, because I want to get into something that, you know, when the Oscars started, we didn't... maybe we had them. I don't recall. Animated feature?
Oh, animated feature. Okay. No, we
because,
did not.
You know,
that was recent.
Think of how huge that has become.
Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
popularity of it and so forth. So we've got How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, I Lost My Body, Klaus, Missing Link, and Toy Story 4.
So, Dave, I'm going to ask you, how many of these have you seen?
None of them.
I think that's a real problem, because outside of Toy Story 4 and maybe How to Train Your Dragon,
mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be a common response. And for that reason, I think Toy Story 4 wins. Also because Pixar is Pixar. And
right.
You know, Toy Story 4, while it was a needless film, was a good needless film. So maybe How to Train Your Dragon, because that the first one did win that year. But I Toy Story 4 is Toy Story is
I did see the original How to Train Your Dragon.
Toy Story is
beloved.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's one of those. It's like, okay, this is something that has grown the genre itself, but. You know, it just seems that that should, and this is personal coming through, maybe that should remain in Golden Globes. It should remain in, People's Choice Award type situations. Just don't see that in that regard, but it is an art.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Well, and there are some years when there are very popular ones that are also very good. This is a really good year for pretty much everything. I mean, you look at the Best Picture, I've really liked everything I've seen, which rarely happens. And I've seen the shorts, and I've liked all of them, and that never happens. But I think this year is a weak year for animated features.
Okay.
So, it's Toy Story 4 by default, I think.
So that is a time to get more snacks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And original screenplay. Ooh. Knives Out, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite. So here are some that you've already given your inclination on in terms of directing and the Best Picture. But what about when it comes to... doing this with the original screenplay?
This is very interesting, because Writers Guild gave it to Parasite for original screenplay, but Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was not eligible to be nominated for that, for whatever reason. I'm not remembering why. And that was my sort of this is where Tarantino is going to get the award again for original screenplay. So I'm really torn here, and this is one I haven't marked on the ballot yet. I tend to think that Hollywood will go for Tarantino, but the Writers Guild Award is pretty predictive. So it may be Parasite in the end. 1917 is a screenplay. Again, the whole thing with 1917 is the story and the visuals. It's not the dialogue per se. Knives Out is supposed to be, and I haven't seen Knives Out, and I really want. Have you seen Knives Out?
I have not.
I really want to.
And it looks cute.
It looks really good, but again, it's sort of like, if you can ignore a comedy, you do. And so that's.
And they tend to.
And Marriage Story carries the Netflix baggage, so I'm still going to pick Once Upon a Time, but Parasite, that surprised me. So
you've got Parasite as a dark horse in a couple of categories.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cinematography, you spoke a little bit earlier.
Roger Deakins. No, we don't even need to talk about him.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what anyone else did. That movie wins for cinematography.
Documentaries. Did you see any of those?
Oh. I need to go to my sheet here.
Ah, get out the score sheet.
I've got the score sheet here.
Not the Scorsese, but the score sheet.
I have not seen the documentaries. There are two that are worth looking at. Honeyland, which is also up for Best Foreign Language Film, is adored by everyone who's seen it. It's a story about beekeeping, and it's riveting and emotional, and there's bees. So where are you going to go wrong with any of that? American Factory is Barack and Michelle Obama's production company, and I think they'll probably go with that. And it's supposed to be quite good. The critical acclaim has been good, and it's done well with audiences. But I would pick that, but I'm not ruling Honeyland out. I think that's a dark horse in that, or a dark bee, if you will, in that category.
Oh, well played. All right. You said you had seen all the shorts this year. What do you like?
I like them all. It's back here. Animated. I think Kit Bull will win. Kit Bull is out of Pixar. It's not a Pixar film. It's not the computer animation. It's cell animation. And Pixar lets its sort of junior people do work on something. The thing about the shorts in animated was I watched those and I was emotionally drained. I was
really?
Yeah.
What was the point that got you on those?
So if we go through the list here, Dechera, Daughter, is a Czech film about a daughter dealing with her father's death. Hair Love is about, it's very cute, but the story in the end is about a girl wanting to make her hair look good for her mother who's got cancer and therefore has no hair. Kit Bull is about animal cruelty. Memorable is about Alzheimer's. And Sister is about the Chinese one-child policy and the abortions that resulted thereof. So
That is emotionally draining.
It's, my God. I just, you know, at the end of these five movies, I'm like, I am, these are, you know, animated, these are cartoons, and I'm ready to go get my antidepressant thing refilled.
How about live action then?
I'm still going to say Kit Bull. Memorable is really good.
Okay.
And that wouldn't surprise me. Live action. So my old rule, and live action isn't quite as dark. There's some dark. Saria in particular is about an orphanage in Guatemala that mistreated its children, and there was a horrible incident at the end. That was very good. My old rule before I started watching the shorts as a whole was to pick the one that had the most intriguing title, and that one for me was NEFTA Football Club. And actually I think it will win. It's lighter than some of the other ones, but it's not like ephemeral light. The director is dealing with kids, which is always difficult, and he makes them work. And to say anything more about it, I don't. It's a spoiler, but it's the ending of it is a great payoff. It's a great payoff. So I'm going to pick NEFTA Football Club. A couple of these are a little too derivative. Neighbor's Window is Rear Window with a little bit of an update. So I think NAFTA Football Club would be my choice there.
All right. So one of the things you mentioned as to what makes a good Oscar film versus just popularity is music. Mm-hmm. So let's take a look at some of that now. With original score, some names you've heard many times before. Randy Newman, John Williams in there and so forth. So Randy Newman was with Marriage Story. John Williams was Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker.
Yep.
Not unusual that his name would be associated with that after many, many decades. And then you've got original score for The Joker and Little Women. And then 1917 with Thomas Newman.
Thomas Newman, yeah. You know, the score for Little Women, which is Alexandre Desplat, I can never pronounce his last name, but he's very good, and it's a very good score. The 1917 score is really good, and Thomas Newman has never won. And he's worked with Sam Mendes on every film. The best thing about American Beauty is Newman's score, and he's done some lovely work since then. I would pick him if this weren't sort of the hail and farewell to John Williams.
Lifetime Achievement Award.
Achievement Award. He's 87 years old. There aren't going to be any more Star Wars movies for him to do. So I'm going to go ahead and pick him, although if Thomas Newman wins, it wouldn't surprise me in the least. But again, it's a really strong category. These people are these composers have all been represented many times. They've all done really good work. I'm not going to be displeased with any of them, but I'm going to lean toward Williams for getting it as the lifetime achievement.
How about original song? This is kind of interesting because you've got Rocket Man.
Yeah.
And I'm Gonna Love You Again. Breakthrough has I'm Standing With You. Frozen 2, Into the Unknown. Harriet has Stand Up. And then Toy Story 4, I Can't Let You Throw Yourself Away. So you've got a big animated. You've got a biopic.
Two big animated.
Oh, two big animated, yes. Big animated. Frozen 2 and Toy Story 4. All well known. Where is this going?
Into the unknown. I mean, it's not quite as good as Let It Go, but that's going to win.
All right, production design. You've already mentioned that.
Yeah, I think Parasite will probably win that. The Irishman, again, all of these are really strong, but I think Parasite's going to win that just for that house. You look at that, and it's. You know, the people who look at it think this is like a Frank Lloyd Wright house in Korea, and it doesn't exist. Yeah. They built this place for this movie, and it's just stunning.
Amazing.
And then with that, you've got the slums and how they designed that apartment. And there's one scene in Parasite, which is where there's a storm and the family is in the rich house and the city is flooding. So they have to leave, and for other reasons, they have to leave and run back to their apartment. And it's just a trajectory, downward trajectory from this beautiful house where they are to where they come from and the flooding that's going on there. And it's just astonishing. So yeah, I think I'm gonna go with that for production.
Makeup and hair, are we good with Judy?
I think makeup, yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so. Hard to imagine. Joker, maybe, for the Joker, but to turn Renee Zellweger into Judy Garland like that is... How do you do that?
Stunning.
How do you do that?
Absolutely stunning.
I don't know. That's hard.
And then along with that, then, costume design. We have The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Well, this is kind of silly in a way because Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I've got most of that stuff in my closet.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we got a lot of people going to different...
What do you mean? That's ridiculous. You don't watch The Irishman for costume design.
Right.
Jojo Rabbit's got the interesting historical element to it, but I don't see that one. I think this is the one where Little Women will win, which is really wrong because that's the most stereotypical award this movie could win. But, you know, they achieve what they set out to do. It was interesting. I was watching the flipping around yesterday, and TCM had the 1953 or 4 or whatever year it was, Little Women on, and looking at those costumes and that setup compared to this one, it was like, holy cow. You consider how the 1950s considers 1850s clothing, and then now the 2020 film considers 1850s clothing, and it's very interesting. But I think Little Women probably will win that. That'll be the crumb that's tossed its way.
Visual effects, Avengers Endgame, The Irishman, 1917, The Lion King, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker.
This one's interesting.
Who had the most technology? And
well, here's the thing. I don't think The Lion King will win because that sort of thing just does not go well. I'm going to pick The Irishman, and this may be stupid because there was all the controversy about the aging and the anti-aging and whatnot went on to make De Niro and Pacino and Pesci look like they were 40 years old. But it worked. It worked. I mean, the fact that you recognize that these guys were not moving like 30 or 40 years old, but they looked like they were 30 or 40 years old, that, I think, really does it. And then you got the aging on the other side, where De Niro then has to play over his age. I think that's going to be what does it. Avengers, I don't know. Lion King, no, I don't think so. And Star Wars, it's Star Wars. I mean, there's nothing new in this Star Wars that makes you think it deserves it over any other Star Wars. 1917 is really cool with the, there's some dogfights that go on. But again, the story with that is the visual effects, and that is the cinematography. It's not necessarily the special effects. So
where will you be spending Sunday night? Do you go anywhere for a big party, or you throw one yourself, or sit at home?
I used to do Oscar parties all the time. I just now sit at home because there's too much else going on. My daughters are finally of an age where I can watch most of it, and I don't have to run up and down the stairs to take care of them. So I'll be able to see most of it this year.
Good, good. It should be fine. Looking forward to it. Hostless again, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah. Which worked out well last year.
I really thought so, too. Didn't bother me at all. Yeah, that was good in that regard.
Yeah.
I will be going to a redneck Oscar party.
What is this?
Well, we're going to dress up as though big gala. Mm-hmm. But then everything will be in red Solo cups and, you know, lots of Cheetos, cheese balls, things like that. That's nothing good. Elegant for the food.
That's good. So it's like a Super Bowl party, except...
Last night's a Super Bowl party. We actually had better food than we'll have coming up on this one. Yeah. All right. But Jeffrey, you know, since we have you here, let's just talk. You mentioned your daughters. What are they up to? They look like they're quite good at what they do.
They're... By that you mean they're causing trouble at home? Yes, they're quite good at that. My elder daughter is graduating from Lincoln this year. My younger daughter is a sophomore. They're preparing for their dance recital and their skating show.
To me, that's arts too.
Yeah,
well, figure skating is beautiful.
Yeah, but it's a sport too.
Right,
no one can imagine what
the
it's
conditioning.
Like. You've got to be incredibly strong to be able to go off on one foot, turn around two times in the air, and come back down. They're strong young women to be able to do that.
So when you're not watching films and you're not following your kids, what do you like to do for some hobbies?
Hobbies. That's pretty much it.
It is the hobby, following the girls.
Yeah, watching, tuning in, streaming stuff, and binging stuff at home. But that's pretty much it. And then being up at Augustana and doing the stuff I do there.
So. Excellent. Well, appreciate your time. Thanks for being on the podcast, and it was great because
thank you so much, Dave.
You were one of the first ones when I put it out there that I was going to be having one that wished me luck, and then ran into you in a parking lot going into a store, and you were
was that IV or where was
that? That was in front of Family Dollar, I think.
No, was it?
Yes.
Oh my!
I see you at IV a lot.
You're right.
Yeah.
We do see each other. It's a day that ends in Y. So
exactly.
Well IB, yep. So I'm going there after this. So I shouldn't be saying anything.
Well, I think we got everything already, so we're good. But thanks again.
Thank you so much for being on,
but also for bringing some wonderful insight to the Oscars of 2020.
My pleasure.
And
seriously.
Next week, then, we'll check Mark to see how well you did. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeffrey. We'll have more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tootie provide the very best chiropractic care to Sioux Falls. At XL Chiropractic, the focus is to improve your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will, relieving your pain and helping you in your wellness goals. Discover how to get results the natural way. 605-332-9235 or xlchiros.com. That's EXCELCHIROS.com. XL Chiropractic, excellent care for excellent people.
He's never met a meal he didn't like. Once again, here's Dave Holly.
Welcome back to the Dave Holly Hour. We are going to talk arts and entertainment, as we always do, but we're going to add a little fundraising business aspect to it today. The first man that was ever on the Dave Holly Hour, his distinction returns, Robin Byrne from Sioux Empire Community Theater. How are you?
I'm very good, Dave. How are you?
Glad to hear it. I'm better anytime I see you. And before we move on, I just have to say Tuesdays with Maury, another knock it out of the park show.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I thought it was excellent.
Very much. You know, I had read the book, I'd seen the movie, and this one brought it to life.
I thought all four actors, because normally it's a two-man show, but we took some of those voices that are usually disembodied voices, and we put bodies to them. I thought they all did a great job, but the two guys who carry the show did an outstanding job, I thought.
Yeah. That was for sure, no doubt about it. And Lend Me a Tenor coming up next.
Me a Tenor coming up on February the 20th, opening at the Orpheum for two weekends, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, and matinees on Saturday afternoon and Sundays, and finishing on March the 1st. It's a comedy. It's hilarious. It is one of those door-slamming farces where the timing has to be perfect. You know, somebody's got to exit just a split second before somebody enters. So that things that could never happen in real life happen, and yet the audience just accepts it. Because the humor of it all is just so good.
That's for sure. But we need to talk about the fact that besides ticket sales, there's so much more that goes into making sure Sioux Empire Community Theater turns round and round year after year.
Absolutely. I feel like I'm on a treadmill. I'm like the mouse there running round and round and round.
Did they put the Bud Light bottle in front?
They put a cigar in front of me.
Okay, a cigar, and I understand a scotch, too.
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
And, we have to raise funds. Now, when I say we have to raise funds, I mean, we could survive on our ticket sales, but what you can't do without those extra dollars that come in is it's very hard anyway to improve the quality of what you do and get better and better and better and make the audience more comfortable and give them a better experience. You got to remember that once we all get to 50 years and upwards, our hearing does deteriorate a little bit. So it's nice to go to the theater.
That's why I'm wearing the headphones.
It's nice to be able to go to the theater and hear every word.
True.
Well, if you're going to do that, a $40,000 sound system doesn't come from ticket sales, that kind of thing. So that's why I'm always trying to fundraise, and I'm always competing with everybody else who needs to fundraise. And guess what? We're all calling on the same people.
True.
And we're trying to, Sean, who's here with me today, says it's kind of like trying to wring more water out of the same cloth, And I want to free us of that eternal, year in, year out, begging bowl situation. And one day, I happened to stumble upon the gentleman sitting next to me. And as I listened to him, I started to think, you know, this could be what I've been looking for from a fundraising point of view.
All right. Well, let's introduce that guest then, Sean Tacey. And Robin, first, you just give us a little bit of how you ended up meeting him, because I think that part's a great story in and of itself.
Well, yeah. I have, like I've already mentioned, I have been known to enjoy the odd cigar. And I was in our local cigar lounge, Stogie's, mm-hmm. and Manchester United were playing on the TV. And there was this American guy in front of me also enjoying a cigar and a whiskey. And clearly, from comments that we were making to one another, he knew what he was talking about when it came to the English Premier League. So we really struck up a good conversation. And out of that conversation, he discovered that I was running the local theatre. And he asked me about the fundraising side of it, and I said, oh, it's hard work, it's never ending. And he said, you know what, I've got something to share with you that you might be interested in. And I like what I heard, and the rest is history. That's why he's here today for it must be 3 or 4 meetings we've had since that day, isn't it?
That's correct.
All right. Sean Tacey, and welcome. And you are from the state of Washington, because if you said you were from Washington, and some of us might think D.C., we might not want to talk to you.
The other Washington.
Okay, yeah. Good. A lawyer by trade, though, correct?
Lawyer by training, correct. Okay. Last 25 years, mainly working with small business owners, and from that became more of a small business advocate. And because when you work with them closely, you realize small businesses are the backbone of our culture, our communities. They do more for us as a community than any other type of business, but they struggle, and they need help in growing their business and managing their business. And there's not a lot of innovation where people are actually trying to elevate small businesses to thrive, because when small businesses thrive, the arts thrive. When small businesses thrive, employees are able to generate wealth, and everyone begins to benefit. When small businesses struggle, then you see a decline in our local communities. So I became a small business mm-hmm. advocate, looking to innovate ways in order to help businesses grow their business. And to answer that question, you have to connect them to lots of customers, and that was part of the innovation behind Our Mayberry, which is my company that I'm here in town talking about.
I have to ask, is it like Mayberry RFD? Was that the impetus for Our Mayberry?
It really is, right?
Okay.
The fictitious
North
community,
Carolina town,
right? Community where Otis would, you know, check himself into the jail after a pretty good bender.
I've known some Otises. Yeah.
But it was the idea that we're in it together, the business owner, the civil servants, all of the social causes, we're all in it together. We're not in these different silos. We're working together every day. But the one thing about Our Mayberry, my software application, is that it's designed to involve all of us, not just in community involvement, but in doing business together in a more intimate, higher level of engagement based on values, based on an alignment of the things that we all care about. And that was one of the things that Robin and I were talking about when I first met him, is you have so many people who love the arts that are crazy. They're crazy supporters. They will jump through a wall for you. But you ask them to do all of these things, but you don't allow them to flex their greatest muscle, which is their spending power, how they spend their money, where they're spending their money. And if you could guide that and influence that to reward the small business owners who are willing to contribute back to the theater, a portion of each purchase that's made, now you're fundraising 24 hours a day, through the effortless consumer spending by your consumer base.
All right. So where do you start with this then? When we, I know you're in town, you're kind of generating the ideas and so forth, but when it actually comes to boots on the ground, where do you go?
You start with the campaigns. You start with the problem solvers, right? The folks that see a need and are stepping up to try to fulfill the need. That's who Robin is, right? He sees the local community theater and the value of the arts, and he wants to not only, you know, save it, he wants it to become a robust part of culture. So he steps in it and he exercises all of his skill, all of his experience in order to leverage himself to make a difference for the theater. And you start with those types of local heroes is what we call them. And we partner with them and say, how would you like to take all of that influence that you have, you know, of that supporter base and give them a place to shop, right? And that place to shop is populated online and offline with local businesses. And so businesses, small businesses need customers. If you give them lots of customers, they will give, you know, graciously. Mm-hmm. And so you got to solve that problem. Who has the solution to that problem? It's the causes that themselves who have the supporter base, who want to do more other than get hit up for a check every time you talk to them.
On so a yearly basis.
Right,
instead,
so or a weekly basis.
Right.
But instead of asking them to take that $20 out of their pocket that everyone else is fighting for, introduce them to these great relationships with business owners and let them spend their livable wage locally, where the community is rewarded for it, but also our causes are also rewarded for it as well.
All right. So it's a wonderful idea. How does it work then? You talk about businesses having obviously some specials or they're going to be donating portions of right. sales and so forth.
So it's a contribution. So Our Mayberry is an online platform that allows causes like the theater to be able to create a instantaneous online marketplace where businesses are able to participate by putting products or services into the marketplace, and then the consumers are brought in to purchase from them. They can purchase online, and they can also purchase in the stores themselves. And so it's a software application that actually simplifies cause-based commerce. An example of cause-based commerce is you could have a local Culver's who partners with a local booster club at a high school, mm-hmm. and they have a slow night on Monday, so they do an eat-in where you have to come in, mention the high school name,
right.
and you know your ticket receipt for what you bought. A percentage of that purchase will go back to the booster club. So people are doing this all the time.
Right. We hear those a lot.
Right.
So.
But they do
how is this different then?
Well, they do them as one-offs. Like, for example, I can't go to Culver's on Monday night. What if I want to go on Thursday night?
Okay.
Or the product that they're offering, I'm lactose intolerant, so I can't eat pizza at the local pizza place. Is there another restaurant that I could choose from? Why not build a marketplace where offerings are being offered 24 hours a day. Consumers have the ability to walk in or buy it online as it suits their needs. So it's more consumer-based, where it gives the option of the consumers to choose how to spend their money and when and from who, but also gives the businesses the freedom to put an offer or to participate in any level that they want. And the most important thing for businesses, they choose how much they're going to contribute per transaction. It's not dictated to them. So if they want to put 1% on this item and 6% contribution on another item, they can do that. Or they can change their mind.
So it could be to more than one organization then?
Correct.
All right. Because I know that when Robin and I first started talking about this, having you on, he was quite up on it and said the great thing about it is that it can expand more and it's keeping it all in the community. And so there will be opportunities for others other than Sioux Empire Community Theater.
Oh, absolutely.
To be getting involved.
Right.
But does that create any competition then? Or is it because, like you just mentioned, that, you know, the merchant then can say, hey, 1% to this, 2% to that?
Yeah, the merchant can choose with which campaign it wants to partner with. And the consumer can choose when they buy a product, whether to buy it in this campaign or to buy it in what we call the general marketplace. So if a consumer comes to Our Mayberry and they just want to shop, they can go in the general marketplace, buy anything they want online, and then choose the charity to send the contribution to that's being offered by the business. If they come in and buy in the campaign marketplace for the theater, then everything that is purchased right then
goes to the theater. Okay.
So the whole idea with what we know from the internet and technology is that consumers need to have the freedom to buy what they want, when they want, from whom they want, for the purpose that they want. So we've met that need. And one thing that no one is meeting the need of for the consumers is connect my purchases to businesses who believe in what I believe in, support what I support, love what I love. And what we're doing is connecting the businesses who love the theater with the consumers who love the theater. And we're giving them a way to do commerce together that will create a significant sustainable benefit to the theater to not just operate, but to thrive. So instead of worrying about money, we're now creating new ideas to enhance the arts and to make it more inclusive and get more people participating in it versus, you know, asking, you know, passing the hat around and asking for money all the time. We need problem solvers and creative people who want to make culture better to get on with that business versus wringing the rag every single day trying to beat money out of the same pocket.
What's track record on this?
In what way?
In terms of how R. Mayberry has been working for others.
Well, it's been, so we haven't launched yet.
So this is a new venture.
It's a new innovation that we've been developing for 2.5 years and testing it in different markets. And the reception has been amazing. The causes love it and the business love it because they're getting introduced to consumers that they would have never been introduced to. Or if they are, those consumers are buying more frequently, referring more directly, and becoming far more loyal. Not because they're getting a great deal all the time, but because they're connected for the same purpose.
Robin, obviously this sounds quite attractive. What are you looking forward to out of this?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, these businesses that are coming on board, they can join more than one mob. That's what we call them, Mayberry mobs, right? They can join our Mayberry mob, and then you know, as we prove the theory that this works, and we start to see a monthly steady revenue, which is what I'm really wanting out of it. I don't think it'll be a situation where we stop trying to raise money from other avenues, but I think it can certainly be possibly our main income, and giving us some consistent, sustainable
cash flow
income, right?
Yeah.
But what I want to see is not just the community theatre benefiting from this. We, as a community theatre, are quite philanthropic ourselves. Mm-hmm. We provide complimentary tickets to other organisations that work with people who otherwise might not get a chance to see live theatre, and therefore, I'm talking to these people. I feel as someone who lives in Sioux Falls, and despite the accent, I am a U.S. citizen. Yeah, so I choose to live here. I want my community to be the best that it can be. And if I'm just going to be selfish about it with the theater, then I'm not being a very honest, authentic individual or whatever, if that's the right phrase to use. So I want us to be successful. And then 6 months from now, which is when our, let's call it pilot, will have run its course. I want it to have been successful enough for everybody else to want to get on that bandwagon and say, yeah, we want our...
And create their own mob, then.
Our Mayberry mob. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I'm hoping will really come.
Well, and that's great to hear, because I think in the history, the short history it is, episode 18 today of this show, is that there is such a camaraderie in this community of the arts and entertainment. It's not a competition.
It's not. We're friends with one another. We know each other. We act in each other's shows.
Productions.
And share props and costumes. And, you know, the president of the Worthing Dinner Theatre, his daytime job is working for a furniture organization. He just loaned us the furniture for Lend Me a Tenner, which we'll return to him at the end of the show, back to his furniture store, you know. So, yeah, we are a friendly arts community. And, you know, and that's part of what I want to do with the community theatre is expand what we do and bring in to... you know, under our roof, if you like, the other arts, because productions that we put on, you know, we did a production of The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. We had a couple of movie screens built into the set, and we hid four cameras so we could film close-ups of the actors, and the audience could see those close-ups whilst they were watching the live action. We had a guitarist sat in a box, you know, next to the stage, doing an underscore of music that was never written for the show. We created it ourselves. So, you know, it makes sense to me to pull the arts together. Who knows when we're going to need a sculptor for, yeah. You know, for a production or whatever.
Well, you can take something off of the sculpture walk then.
In fact, we've done that. Yeah. We've actually got some sculptures in the courtyard at the theatre that were on the sculpture walk.
Sean, when you hear this, when you hear Robin's you know, passion for this, obviously you have the passion for having created R. Mayberry and an application for it and so forth. But what was it when you two met that you said, I really want to help this guy?
Oh, because he understood the dynamic changes that are happening in our economy right now, where the day of lowest prices and internet companies putting small businesses out of business are about to change. And he saw that a cause-based economy and cause-based buying was something that was really powerful. And it's a good change because it creates a very inward focus towards rewarding the local business owner, because local business owners are now seen as equaling sustainability. Local business owners equal ethical treatment of employees. Local, you know, business owners, if you buy from them, you're actually helping the earth. I mean, millennials see that shopping the local business will actually help with climate change. See, the whole paradigm of the consumer is changing and shining a bright light on really the backbone of our communities, which is our small business owners. And he got it. And he also saw how this would reward those business owners and allow them to thrive and to grow their business, because there's no greater steward of the public trust and of the societal wealth than the small business owners, because they share it. And it's not only that he gets it, but so does 130 million people. They get it. And so he was excited that actually this new evolution that's coming in consumer engagement, if you will, is bringing our local communities even closer together. And he philosophically understood that these changes were happening and how it could not only transform the theater's operations, but he can now start to dream big beyond the theater to include greater, you know, an artistic environment, and then share that success with onboarding more causes that could transform your local communities. So it was, and it's all being fueled by the consumer has changed, and the consumer's values are now aligned with small town values. And now has never been a better, there's never been a better time to be a small business owner and start partnering with you know, local heroes like Robin to start transforming the way we do business and the way we do life together. And he got it. And I was like, you get it. you get the value of what's happening and the opportunity that presents.
But it's not difficult to get, because at the end of the day, we've met with the Chamber of Commerce. We've met with the Better Business Bureau. We're going to be presenting to Downtown Rotary. Downtown Sioux Falls have met with us. And they're all on board. They're all excited by it. They see the common sense of it and the benefits to this town that it can bring. And you don't have to be anybody special to see that. It's easy, you know.
So when can we expect this to get rolling then, after presentations and so forth?
Right. So the platform will be transactionally ready by the end of February. Oh. And then we will be back out for these presentations on March 16th. And then we will be doing a specific launch for the theater and its supporters and the business partners that are signing up to participate to launch and celebrate it. And I think, you know, what's great about Mayberry, it brings people together, but it's not an excuse not to be together in co-presence. And so as a company, we want to be in this community and encouraging them and being a great cheerleader of how we are redefining commerce in order to create a better benefit for all, right? And the thing about the arts and the thing about most of the causes is that they're intended to be inclusive, to bring all participants on board, right? So, you know, there's many great artists that aren't eating tonight. There's many great, you know, future artists that are that don't have a warm place to sleep. And the idea of those, you know, many people are kind of cut out of philanthropy because they don't have any money to give away, but their hearts wish that they did. And the whole idea is that one thing that we all do is that we have to spend to, you know, meet our needs. And if we could spend all of that money locally using a platform like Mayberry, then everyone can contribute and everyone can begin to live that life.
And we are looking forward to that life, making the Sioux Empire Community Theater thrive even more than it has since Robin took over. And Robin, again, thank you for what you do, but also thank you for bringing Sean in to hear about a new venture that I just have a great feeling about, because it's going toward a great thing. And Sean, appreciate your time. And as well, gentlemen, look forward to great success for both of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Dave.
All right. And we'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself, too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Thanks again to my guests this week, including from Augustana University, Jeffrey Miller, and then from the Sioux Empire Community Theater, Robin Byrne, and from Our Mayberry, Sean Tacey. Also, thanks to our great show sponsors, and of course, you, for all the downloads, streaming, the likes, the shares, etc. Keeps the old man going here. Speaking of going, I'm going to be at Sky Lounge to host trivia Friday night, taking in Crazy Frank Karaoke at Red Rock Saturday night, and then a Redneck Oscar Party Sunday night. Yep, that's right, Billy Bob. Other things you might want to take in include Basement Dwellers Improv Comedy tonight at Obscure Brewing at 7. Books and Brews has Brian James Hoffman. They've got art and music Friday and Saturday. Andy Powell headlines Boss's Comedy Club Friday and Saturday nights at 8. Don't forget to follow the Dave Holly Hour on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Plus, take a look at the website, DaveHollyHour.com, for more information on this show, the Holly Days blog, and my other podcast, More M.O.R. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Holly, and remember, for me, every day is a Holly Day.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions, and is produced by Big D Entertainment.